want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Let's go.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour satellite soiree. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Johnsonville to Jacksonville, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
Thanks so much for being with us, and we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. We have made it. Holding hands and dancing through dandelions, the D'Aliens and yours truly making our way through the meadows of the week. And we have found our opening to the weekend. Friday morning is here, which means it's a Target demo Friday, which means at some point in the next hour or so, the Wizard of Watch DA, affectionately known as Dr. Doom, will release the Kraken. At some point, we will have the DA Show's weekly meme, which, if you are a hardcore listener to the DA Show, you will understand the references, the unspoken references in said Photoshop meme. If you have not caught every minute of every hour of this week, you might be lost, but that's the beauty. I will let you know when that Kraken has been released, and when it is, we want to hear where you are, how you're listening, and your weekend planaroonies. Now, elsewhere this morning, outside of that, Jeff Goodman's going to join us. Jeff had a clip. He had a quote earlier this week that we did a lot of time with because he was the first member of the pro Brad Stevens media to turn on the Celtics coach, saying that the Celtics and Stevens should part ways this offseason, prefacing this by saying, and I really love him as a person. Uh-oh, are the walls closing in on Boy Wonder? We'll talk to Jeff about that. And the NBA playoffs is this weekend, the final regular season games tomorrow and Sunday before we got play-in games next week, and then the NBA playoffs in full the following weekend. He's going to join us coming up on the show in hour number three. In hour number four, let's run it back. We are gluttons for punishment around here. Stop me if you've heard this one before. Nate Ebner is going to join us. Yesterday, poor Sam Rubinoff. Sam, young, fresh-faced, eager young producer, wants to do right by the DA Show, wants to do right by yours truly, wants to do right by the listeners. He's young, he's hungry, he's really talented, and he steps in for Mraz yesterday as Mraz had taken the day off. And Mraz had left him, Nate Ebner, as the guest. Now, Nate has a really great story. Nate Ebner was a collegiate rugby player, then decided, you know what, I'm going towards football. I need to hit somebody. He ends up making the Ohio State football team, ends up in the NFL, and ends up having a glorious career as a backup safety and special teams ace for the Patriots in the middle of their dynasty, the second half of their dynasty, winning three Super Bowls along the way. The reason that he was pushed towards football, he had a lot of aggression to get out because his father was killed and he was really close to his dad. His dad was murdered, beaten by an assailant when he was running his own junkyard, a junkyard that Nate had worked on and worked in for a long time. So Nate had this amazing story. Mraz had booked him, we think, Sam had taken over yesterday's reins of the show as executive producer, and Nate never called. And Nate's people never responded to multiple emails. And Nate's people left Sam Rubinoff thinking, wondering, hoping, when is this guest supposed to come through? So on the one day Sam steps in, famous for the line, "Get me Rubinoff," Mraz had left him hanging. And so we had promoted Nate the entire day. I wanted Nate to come through because we had no other guest booked yesterday. And because poor Sam is sitting there yelling into the ether, "Hello, hello, hello. Are you? There. Nate. So, Mraz, we're going to run this thing back today. Do we have any assurances that what happened yesterday will not happen today?
Yes, confirmed. Absolutely confirmed at 9:20 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah, but he was confirmed yesterday. What does that mean?
He was not confirmed as of Wednesday night. I was not aware of this trouble that Sam had received an email. They had canceled at 10 p.m. Wednesday night, and I was already asleep and did not see that email.
No, they had asked for a rescheduling at 10 p.m.
Yes,
on Wednesday.
And then when they got the rescheduling back from Sam, they emailed us back saying he actually is not going to be available until Friday.
And Sam didn't see that email?
I guess not.
Email it to Sam or just you?
I just checked, and he was on there, so I don't know how Sam lost it. It was in the middle. To be fair, it was like six emails stacked. They were sending a lot of confusion, and they had a follow-up to that one. So I don't want to – I'm not going to throw Sam under the bus. That shouldn't be his fault.
Well, of course not. I mean, on your day of celebration, it was Sam for 4 hours stressing all day yesterday. You've got to feel guilty about that, that on your day where you were just partying, having a great time, enjoying yourself with a fudge of the whale cake, here's poor Sam. Every minute of the day, I don't know, guys. I'm not getting anything back from them. I emailed again. I called them again. I'm not sure what's happening. I'm dying over here. I mean, the poor kid.
I do feel bad. And in our history of booking plenty of great guests, I never saw something like that where they kept changing what they wanted to do six times late the night before with emails. Ba-boop, 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 ba-boop. That was uncharted territories, and that is not Sam's fault at all. There was a lot of confusion in there reading between the lines.
So it was a ba-boop situation.
It was totally a ba-boop, 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 ba-boop. And to be fair, you were probably in better hands with Sam in that confusion than with me anyway. It's easy for me a day later to be able to digest everything they sent and told you what happened.
But you're confident. You're confident if I promote Nate Ebner today, the ba-boop situation will not happen again.
No. I mean, the only ba-boop will be ba-boop here he is at 9:20 a.m. Eastern.
Okay. All right, so I'll go ahead and promote it again. Nate Ebner is going to join us this morning on the show at 9:20 a.m. this morning, hour number four. Elsewhere this morning, why are Giants fans still hating Tom Brady? He wonders. Could we see healthy players sit because of load management this year in the NFL? Target has had to shut down the sale of sports cards. There was a youth football drill this week that went viral, and now the coaches are under major fire. The Pac-12 has a new commissioner, and Tom Brady Sr. is ready for Sunday night. All of that coming up this morning on the show. Any of those topics sound good to you? Appetizing, palatable, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. I am laughing because the last message in our group chat yesterday morning when we left the show was Sam tweeting, quote, "I can all but confirm it was a sabotage this morning, as within the last hour, Nate Ebner's Twitter account has liked two different posts." Was it sabotage on the hands of Mraz looking for his replacement to look bad when he's out, much like Mraz claimed Bill Belichick was doing to Matt Patricia, purposefully grooming a guy to fail when he left to make him look better? That's the question this morning on the show.
Was that take this week? Boy, it's been a long week.
It's been a long week. A lot has happened. It's been a long week for Jerry West as well, because Jeannie Buss recently was asked who her top five Lakers people, I can't even say players because she included a coach, of all time are. And the logo, Jerry West, was unhappy. Did Jeannie Buss disrespect the logo? It is where we begin your cold open.
I saw the other day who Jeannie Buss is, made a statement that the five most important Lakers.
Yes.
One of the most offensive things I've ever heard in my life. Really offensive.
I was going to ask you about it. Okay, so the five she named were Kareem, Magic, Kobe, LeBron, and Phil Jackson.
Right. Well, let's put it this way. I was there a lot of times and had a lot of success, and would be curious to know why. If they would have had that success, if I hadn't been there. And we had a little small staff, and I don't ever take credit for stuff. I don't. But when I was around, maybe I was just a good luck charm, okay? But I do know that when this thing fell apart, there was a lot of years that they weren't very good.
Well, Jerry, let me be frank. I know you want to cut in, but just, I think in listening to that, what she said, I think she was caught off guard, you know, just in her defense a little bit, because she left off Magic too. And then they said, yeah, well, you didn't say Magic. Oh, yeah, well, Magic should be no more. So I believe she was just a little harried there. So,
yeah, we don't believe it for a second.
What's that?
I don't believe it for a second.
I don't believe it.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Whoa. That is Jerry West with Peter Vesey, the longtime NBA writer on the Legends Studio podcast. Jerry West just said, it's one of the most offensive things I've ever heard. One of the most offensive things I've ever heard is Jeannie Buss leaving off Jerry West from her top five Lakers ever. Now, to be fair to Jeannie Buss, this is a difficult list to make because she didn't even include Elgin Baylor, Wilt Chamberlain, Shaq. So there's great players, all-time great players, that didn't make the list as well as Jerry West. But here's the thing. West is right. He belongs on this list. He belongs on the list of the most important Lakers ever because Jerry West not only was a standout Hall of Fame, legendary player for the Lakers that helped bring them their first championship in Los Angeles, and was one of the league's first huge superstars, but also he was a crucial, vital executive for the Lakers on their second dynasty in the 2000s. I mean, Jerry West was the brains that drafted / traded for the rights to Kobe Bryant on draft night. Jerry West not only was a player, but he's probably the most important executive in Lakers franchise history as well, and the guy that brought in Phil Jackson. So Jerry West has absolutely every right to be bothered by this, annoyed by this, and say it's an offensive list without him on it. Yes, and here's the thing about Jeannie Buss's list. You can't argue Kareem. You can't argue Magic. You can't argue Kobe. LeBron's not on that list. LeBron is not one of the five most important Lakers players ever. And you guys know, I've got nothing but respect for LeBron James. I think LeBron is shortchanged many times over with the type of description and discussion we have around LeBron. I think he's one of the greatest players ever, probably one of the two greatest players ever, and that his resume is unassailable. But he's not one of the five most important Lakers ever. He's been there for 3 years, for crying out loud. 3 freaking years. Yes, he won a championship. Yes, he has brought a title back to Los Angeles for the first time in a decade plus. but he is not one of the five most important Lakers. Not if you have to leave off Jerry West. Not if you have to leave off Jerry West, Wilt Chamberlain, Shaq, Elgin Baylor. No. You can't put LeBron ahead of any of those guys. You can't. And with all due respect, you probably can't put LeBron on a list that doesn't have Anthony Davis on it right now. But those two guys kind of part and parcel are the most important pieces 50-50 on the current Lakers run. So the list by Genie, to be fair, as Peter Vesey brought up, not an easy list to do on the fly. But for crying out loud, Jerry West has got to be on that list, and LeBron can't be on that list. That's the fact. I mean, Jerry West is the freaking logo of the league. He's the league's logo. If he's not on the top five list of the team, the franchise he played for, then that list is bunk. Genie Buss's dad, Jerry, and Jerry West had some friction. And Jerry West, because of said friction, moved on in his career and went to Memphis and then went to the Clippers. Actually called the Clippers the greatest organization he's ever worked for. So there is some resentment on both sides of that aisle. And remember, Genie Buss had dated Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson and Jerry West had a falling out by the end. So there's some friction there. This is personal with Genie, and that's not indicative of where Jerry West is all time. The man is a top five Laker of all time. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's it. That's not even a discussion. Poor Jerry West, 82 years old. He's got to hear this. Calling it the one of the most offensive things he's ever heard. And then the shot across the bow. I guess I was just a good luck charm. We had a lot of success when I was there. I guess I was just a good luck charm. Ouch. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter. DA on CBS. Disrespectful to an icon. When we come back here on the DA show, we do have your sound check, your best audio of the day. This morning, that includes Matt Rhule discussing Teddy Bridgewater calling out his coaching staff, and another football legend feels like even many years after retirement, he can still suit up and play. It's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And the best of the show every single day is available in podcast form. Bite-sized, one-hour-plus versions of the show. You'll get the very best of each and every day by going to our podcast. Search the DA Show on your favorite podcast platform and find us there. Subscribe, rate, and review. That helps other people find the show. We begin with Matt Rhule, who usually is part of the coaches show weekly here on CBS Sports Radio with the Zach Gelb Show at night. Zach and Matt go back a ways. They've got a really good relationship, so it feels like Zach always has Matt Rhule on every time Matt says anything, which is national and noteworthy. But not this time, because Matt Rhule was, I think, just speaking via press conference, and he was asked about Teddy Bridgewater. And for Teddy the other day, he made news because he called out Joe Brady, the young offensive coordinator, saying that Joe Brady never practiced red zone and never practiced two-minute drill with him last year or with the entire offense, and that the only thing they did was some walkthroughs, but they never actually practiced the two-minute drills and the red zone offense, which is really startling because the NFL comes down to red zone conversion. There is so little that differentiates NFL teams. There is about 25 teams in the middle of the league that are all separated by just a couple of things. Turnovers, dumb penalties, injuries, and red zone conversion. Either you settle for three or you go and get seven. That's basically the difference between being the best of those 20 teams and the worst of those 20 teams. So to not practice red zone would seem, not watch the red zone channel, practice your red zone offense would seem to be a bizarre proposition. Here was Rule responding to Bridgewater's comments.
I'm never really going to say anything bad or talk badly about any of our players or contradict them. And I think for me, that extends to former players. So I'm on record of stating how I feel about Teddy. I expect him to do great things. I will always cheer for him. I'm sorry that maybe he doesn't maybe feel the same way about some things. But for me, I'm going to be the same guy. I'm going to continue to always support the guys who played for me. But I feel really good about what we do. I want to make sure I say that. I feel really good about the way we practice and our process. I'm disappointed to hear that he didn't feel the same way.
Nailed it. That's exactly textbook how you answer that question. You don't dismiss the player. You don't fire back. You don't say something like, that's why Teddy couldn't cut it here. That's why he's somewhere else. We feel better about Sam Darnold. You don't say any of that. Don't take a shot back. Don't get defensive. Don't get aggressive. Don't do any of that. When you get defensive and have to start defending yourself, when you have to start throwing dirt at the other guy, then it makes you seem insecure. Matt Rule hasn't won yet in the NFL, so there could be some questions around him. He's not taking the bait. Smart, smart, smart. This should be on a wall for every other NFL coach to hear and watch and see. If a former player snipes at you through the media, do not take the bait. Don't snipe back. Don't question his motives. Don't question his career. Just say, we're happy with the way we do things around here. I respect all the players that have come through here, former players as well. I'm sorry that he feels that way. That is the way you throw a bucket of cold water on all of this, and you do not disrespect the player. That way, you keep in good standing with all of your current and former players. Great job by Matt Rule. Here is Ravens corner Marlon Humphrey, who joined the Adam Lefko podcast, who discussed Big Ben actually calling out his routes, his pass routes, for his receivers last year.
The crazy thing about this year, when we played with no fans, when we played the Steelers, I was out on the field, and of course there's no fans, so it's kind of quiet. I'm like on the field, and like I heard Big Ben say something to the wide receivers, and I'm like listening, and I'm like, did he just tell him to play? I'm like, did he just tell him the route he's about to run?
Wow.
And he does it again, like the next play, and I'm just like, I couldn't believe it. Like, I was like, I don't know if they were in hurry up and that's what they had always done it or what, but he was just verbally telling them. And I was like, crap, I think I should be able to cover this route. And like that happened a few times in the game. He didn't throw it to me when he told him, but I couldn't believe it that like, that's what happened.
What's interesting is that if Marlon Humphrey was so excited about Ben Roethlisberger calling out the plays publicly, why couldn't they beat him? The Steelers won both games last year against the Ravens. Took them both. 28-24, 19-14. Big Ben. Game number one. 21-32, 182 yards, 2 touchdowns, no INTs. Game number two. 36-51, 260, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. I mean, can't you beat Big Ben at 39 years old if you actually know the routes that are coming? Come on, Marlon Humphrey. If you're going to admit this, you better have beaten him at least once out of the 2 times last year. And if Big Ben is actually calling out hot reads or routes and there's no fans in attendance so you could hear everything, why the hell were the Steelers 13-0 or whatever last season? How come nobody could beat them? I mean, the guy had a game where he threw for 333 yards and 4 touchdowns, no INTs against the Bengals. A week after, he threw 306, 3 touchdowns, no INTs against the Cowboys. Back-to-back weeks, the guy had 650 yards, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions. And people knew what pass routes were coming? Well, damn, I guess Roethlisberger still got it, huh? I guess he's not as toast as we would like to believe. I mean, before November last year, he was the last team undefeated standing. was thrown for about 250 and two touchdowns and not a lot of INTs in just about every game. And people knew? Opponents knew what they were running? Well, what does that say about the opponents, including Marlon Humphrey? And finally, here's T.O. on the Half-Forgotten History podcast, who believes he could still play in the NFL. Here's T.O.
I know that there are guys out there like, oh, well, he's too old. He can't do this. He can't do that. That's what's wrong with America, because everybody tries to put themselves in somebody else's shoes to say they can't do this and they can't do that because maybe they can't do it. I'm obviously one of those guys. I feel like if you see me play, if you see me around, how I work out, how I train, how I eat, I'm one to always say that I'm one of those athletes that can defy the odds. There's no doubt, like I said, I could play the game. Could I go in right now and play 60, 75 snaps off the rip? Absolutely not. I would obviously have to get myself in shape. But if you think about third down situations and you think about red zone, that's 20 yards, 20, 25 yards at the most. You can't say that I wouldn't be able to contribute in some way, shape, form, or fashion.
All right, so there's a lot of things here roped into T.O.'s claim. Can he help in some way, shape, or fashion? Okay, maybe I would listen to that argument. He says, I'm just going to play red zone plays, so all I got to do is run a couple of 7-yard routes or 10-yard routes. Okay. And if I get myself into shape and I can do limited snaps, okay, fine. I mean, T.O.'s always been in great shape. I'm sure it wouldn't take much. He's not a fatso. He's not a slob. He's not lazy. He keeps himself in wonderful shape. So if you're asking me, could a guy who has been relentless in his work ethic in terms of keeping his body in shape play 10 plays a game and run a total of 10 yards per play, catch one or two passes? All right, we can have that conversation. But this is where T.O. loses me. This is the problem in America, is that people don't put themselves in each other's shoes. All right, America's got a lot of issues. One of them is certainly not seeing eye to eye on things. One thing is certainly everybody being an expert on everything. Okay, but if T.O. was still valuable to a team, if he still had football in him, why has he been out of football for more than a decade and by the end of his career bounced around from team to team to team because nobody found him valuable enough to keep him around? The Cowboys, the Bills, the Bengals. I mean, remember, T.O. was a Bengal at the end. A Bengal. And this was 2010. So you're going to sit here and argue that 11 years ago, even the Bengals didn't want you back, and that 11 years later, you have value to an NFL team? That's the problem in America? Well, what are we supposed to go on here? 11 years ago, 32 teams said, we're good, we're passing on T.O. Obviously, because he was willing to keep playing at the end for a paycheck. He played for three different teams in his final three different years and played for the freaking Bills and Bengals by the end. So obviously he was willing to keep playing. So we're supposed to just believe out of thin air that a guy that was willing to keep playing for a paycheck, who was bypassed by 32 teams 11 years ago, would just still have value in the league and we're not seeing it? I mean, that's so silly. It's so dumb. It's like if I just bounce around sports radio, just working for a paycheck for 5 years, and at the end, nobody would give me a job, and then 10 years later, coming up and saying, see, that's the problem with America. Nobody believes that I could still do it. Well, why wouldn't I be still doing it? Because I can't get a job. And that is your sound check. Standing by with our headlines of the morning is a kind sir, Andrew Bogish, and AB, knowing the pain that young Sam Rubinoff dealt with yesterday, not being able to get Nate Ebner on the show late in that show, worrying, scurrying, do you believe Mraz's interpretation of the events that Sam just, quote, missed an email?
I mean, I hope that's not the case for our Sam. I would not want to have that kind of thing working against him on his resume. It sounds like maybe the sabotage came from the outside, though. Are they trying to mess with young Sam with this string of emails? I don't know, D.A. It's hard to say and point fingers not having access to anybody's inbox here. But this does seem like something we could have figured out earlier than you throwing to Nate Ebner when he wasn't there at 9:20 yesterday morning.
Well, this is the concern, is that Mraz planted seeds the day before by saying, in his mind, the Patriots were in trouble because Belichick was purposefully trying to get them to tank after he leaves by grooming Matt Patricia, which the next day we saw come to fruition. Mraz had booked a guest. This would be the Patricia thing. He leaves. Then Sam falls on his face to make Mraz look better. He had laid out the blueprint of how this would work just the day before on the show.
You threw to Nate Ebner yesterday and he wasn't there? Because if that happened, that's way out of line and not jiving with what the email said.
No, we never actually tossed to Nate Ebner. But we were waiting because Sam had said he's either going to come on at 9 or 9:20. That's what we're waiting on. And we just kept promoting, like, maybe this is the segment Nate's going to come on. Maybe this is the segment Nate's going to come on.
Yeah, okay. No problem. I saw Sam's email asking them about 9 or 9:20. They did not respond with they would be on at 9 or 9:20.
It just seems curious, Mirage, that you laid out this whole thing about how Belichick was going to groom Patricia just so that the Patriots tanked the next year. And then the same exact thing happened with you and Sam the next day.
Well, clearly, if that was my intention, it wouldn't work because I'm still getting blamed a day later when that had nothing to do with me.
Well, and people are going to blame Belichick if Matt Patricia is a bum.
Right, but the difference in my theory was Belichick was leaving the Patriots permanently. My seat's cushy. I don't feel like leaving here permanently, so I'm not exactly grooming Sam to take over for me.
Might not be so cushy if Nate Ebner doesn't call in today.
Well, look, therein lies the next storyline. Because if Nate Ebner now bails today after I've proclaimed this, then the heat's in the kitchen, big time.
Bogues, what do you got on headline this morning?
Miami Heat elder statesman Udonis Haslem hadn't played this season until last night. His debut lasted roughly 3 minutes.
Wow.
Whoa, Dwight Howard pushing off Udonis Haslem. And I think we're going to get, I'm not too sure what happened there. And UD having words. So let's see what happens here. So I think we got a couple of technicals on both players.
Mike Inglis on Heat Radio. In fact, Haslem got two T's for the words and for putting his hand in Dwight Howard's face. No regrets, though, says Haslem.
Felt great. I mean, I ended it the only way, only the way that Udonis Haslem could, you know, with an ejection. So I don't regret it. You know, my stepmom texted me and said I did the right thing, so I'm fine
as
with it.
As long as mom said it's okay.
The Heat highlight winning sounded like it was from the 2009 playoffs, by the way. Dwight Howard and Udonis Haslem.
Yeah, really.
The Heat winning the chippy affair with the Sixers, 106-94. Miami stays fifth in the East, a half game behind the Hawks, 116-93 winners over the Magic. The Knicks remain number six, despite downing the Spurs, 102-98. The good news for San Antonio is they have the final spot in the West play-in because the Kings lost in Memphis, 116-110. The Suns snuck past the Blazers, 118-117 on Devin Booker free throws with 2 seconds left. Denver, a 114-103 win in Minnesota. The Clippers took care of the Hornets, 113-90. And the Bucks outscored the Pacers, 142-133. Alex Rodriguez and business partner Mark Lohr reportedly with a verbal agreement to buy the T-Wolves for $1.5 billion. This comes a few days after their 30-day exclusive negotiating window expired.
I don't ever
without
want to hear any owners ever complain about not having enough cash to pay for something, especially stadiums. I mean, the Minnesota Timberwolves, one of the smallest markets of the NBA. They haven't made the playoffs but once in 17 years, I think. They made the playoffs once since Kevin Garnett left. The guy's going into the Hall of Fame this weekend or whatever. And they're worth $1.5 billion. Let's just put that out there. The T-Wolves are worth $1.5 billion. the best job in sports, the best job in America, is being a sports owner.
The last time the Mariners played at home, they were no-hit by O's lefty John Means. Back in Seattle last night, they didn't have a hit through seven off Cleveland righty Zach Plesac. J.P. Crawford finally singled leading off the eighth. They lose the game 4-2. The Rays cooled off the Yankees 9-1. The Red Sox cooled off the A's 8-1. And the Astros outlasted the Rangers 4-3 in 11. The Marlins beat the Diamondbacks 5-1 to split their four-game series. The Rockies outscored the Reds 13-8. And the Giants got a 3-1 win in Pittsburgh. They've won 5-6. They lead the NL at 23-14. The Colorado Avalanche claim the President's Trophy for best regular season record with a 5-1 victory over the Kings last night. The Avs have home ice throughout the postseason, which begins for them with the Blues. Vegas and Minnesota play the other series in that West Division. And all-timer Simone Augustus retiring from the WNBA on the eve of the new season. Augustus, a four-time champ, an eight-time All-Star, 10th all-time in scoring. Wow. She goes right to the bench. She'll be an assistant now for the LA Sparks. DA, back to you.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Mr. Bogues. Coming up this morning on the show next, the New York Giants, 2-0 in the Super Bowl against Tom Brady. And because of it, Brady's like, why do you guys still hate me, Giants fans? Let's ask a Giant fan next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Hear the 12 DAs of Christmas as they happen.
My ass! My fat ass! Up till 1 a.m. getting 4 hours of sleep, pregnant wife and all, but it's garbage!
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember to take out your aggression here on the DA Show each and every Tuesday on Trash Tuesdays. Today is a Target Demo Friday. So when the meme has been released from the wild mind, the criminal mastermind known as Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, we will let you know so that you can let us know where you are and how you're listening, what you're up to this weekend. Tom Brady on the Complex Sports Podcast says, I got a question for you. How come Giants fans hate me? You should love me. That's the only team I've never beaten. The freaking Giants. I've got to figure out how to beat the Giants someday. Maybe we got to go to some type of rematch now that I'm in Tampa in a championship game. Yeah, I don't see the Giants being good enough to take on the Buccaneers in any significance over the course of the next couple of years when Brady's still around. But if Brady plays until he's 50, maybe the rebuild will be complete for the Giants. But let's defer now to superfan, Giants superfan Sean Mraz, who actually has a New York Giants tattoo on his shoulder and owns approximately 50 different Giants jerseys/shirtsies. Mraz, if you've beaten Tom Brady twice in the Super Bowl, why do you hate Tom Brady?
Well, it's twofold. Well, first, let me just get this out of the way. Tom Brady forgets he did beat the Giants last season, who finished one shy of the playoffs, and the Giants, who stunk, were a two-point conversion away from going to overtime with him. Let's just throw it out there. So he did beat the Giants last year, and they were able to compete with him.
Well, beating a 6-10 team doesn't mean much, I guess.
Okay. All right, everybody relax here for a second. Tom Brady, we don't hate him or didn't hate him. And as a matter of fact, we looked at Tom Brady and smiled because the Giants were the team, right? They were the team that beat him twice. And my hatred for Tom Brady actually comes from you, DA, more than anything, because you trained me to hate the Patriots. And I never hated Tom Brady. I got over it, and now I can't stand him because I'm a fan of parody. So my NFL fandom is what hates Tom Brady because I'm tired of it. I'm tired of looking at it. But I can tell you why Giant fans probably do hate Tom Brady. Because the one thing the Giant fans had going for him was, while Tom Brady beat everybody, we were the team. We were the only team. And what did Tom Brady do? He allowed the freaking Eagles to win their only Super Bowl. Mm. And the one thing that Giant fans could dance on the Eagles' grave was, you guys can't win Super Bowls. Our big rivalry where the Eagles beat the Giants left and right, they never won any Super Bowls. And then Tom Brady did a two-for-one deal. He took the comment from Giant fans away that, hey, we own Tom Brady. We're the only team that can beat him. And now the Eagles have a Super Bowl. I think the Eagles' Super Bowl win over the Patriots changed the perception of Tom Brady to Giant fans, where they join the rest of the league and can't stand him.
Okay, maybe. I would also say you're onto something there. The rest of the league hates Tom Brady. Everybody hates Tom Brady. This is just a unanimous thing. Unless you rooted for the Patriots, you hated Tom Brady by the end. The first three championships were fine. People were okay with Brady. And then they kept winning, and they kept winning, and people got sick and tired of him. Then they kept winning, and they got sick and tired of him. And then they had multiple cheating scandals, and they got sick and tired of him. And then they kept winning, and they won more Super Bowls. They were in every AFC championship game. And after 20 years, everybody around the league hated the Patriots. This is why when I express my hatred, all of the listeners are like, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah, well, I'm with you. And it doesn't matter what fan base you're from. Is that the Patriots became the most hateable team in sports. In sports, not only did they win like a dynasty, not only were they there far too long, twice as long as any other dynasty, but they also cheated while doing it. And then you had Brady, who's married to a supermodel, who's dressing like a ridiculous caricature of a quarterback while he's wearing weird hats at the Derby and dancing strangely in Cabo or in Brazil. And he's kissing his kids on the mouth, and he's never stops on social media, and he's in every single freaking Super Bowl. And everything was hateable about Brady and the Patriots. Everything. And then he left. And as I've said, I don't hate Brady anymore. It was about the Patriots thing because it was a Patriots thing. But Brady himself, I find far less hateable. Now, the whole throwing the trophy nearly into the water across a boat as he's drunk, that was a little too far for me. That I didn't like. That annoyed me quite a bit. I mean, take care of the freaking trophy here. It's the Super Bowl. It's the Vince Lombardi trophy. Have some respect. But I don't hate Tom Brady anymore because he left the Patriots. And I don't know if most fans do, but it was a Patriots thing. If Brady has to ask this question, why do people hate the Patriots? That's a silly question. For all of the reasons I just laid out, it's obvious. But I would think that a lot of people don't hate Brady anymore because he left. You still do. I don't think most people do. Would you say?
Maybe, but the first year he's out, Brady just goes back and wins another Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was tough. It was tough.
It's like when LeBron leaves from franchise to franchise and we just say, oh, well, look how many different NBA teams keep going to finals. It's still the same guy at the face of it, so it feels like parity doesn't exist. And he doesn't go away. Everybody loses to Father Time but Tom Brady. That, again, makes him hateable. We all get cranky, old, and everything hurts except Tom Brady. It sucks. Get him out.
Well, the Brady thing does become annoying when you don't know if you stayed too long. Now, he's still winning Super Bowls, so obviously he hasn't stayed too long for success. But you do want people to miss you. And Tom Brady's going to play so long that we'll never miss him ever again. He's going to play for 25 years. I mean, at some point, it's like, all right, leave so we can miss you. And if he plays 2-3 more years, I mean, I know Jason Light said he could play until he's 50. I don't believe he can do that, but he's going to play for 25 years. And at some point, it's like, all right, we've seen the play before. When we come back on the show, will we see load management in football?